Welcome to the Pouncecast. On this edition, we're joined by Milwaukee women's tennis head coach, Mark Golden. My name is Matt Menzel. Coach Golden has been the head coach since August of 2023. And coach, first of all, thanks for your time. But how would you go about summarizing the just completed 2025-26 season?
Yeah, thank you as well. Happy to be here. Overall, I would say it was a big success. I think our biggest hurdle was fighting off the injuries all year, but we really had that next up mentality, picked off some big wins, made some school history, and most importantly, continued to build on the culture we have here and really enjoyed the season this year with the group of girls we had.
When you talk about injuries, has that been a reoccurring theme, unfortunately, the last couple of seasons?
We've had some bad luck, yeah, but this one, we had some long-term injuries that kept people out of the lineup, some key players for long periods of time, but the advantage we had was some players that maybe weren't expecting to get the chance really stepped up and were able to improve their game, which going into next year, those returners now just make our team even deeper with the experience they gained.
We look at the Horizon League. Four out of the six programs finished tied for first. Obviously, the Panthers including that in that grouping, bringing home a piece of their second regular season title, first in 12 years. How competitive, how much parity exists in the Horizon League?
Well, one of the things I love about the Horizon League women's tennis is that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're playing the one or the sixth seed, anyone can beat anyone in our league any given day, and makes it just so much more competitive. We actually had a couple match points in our North Dakota match to seal the deal to get first place all right. So we were right there, but in the end, glad that we did pull it off, tying for first. But yeah, really enjoy how competitive the league is, and it really makes it fun when you know that you got to show up every match.
Has it been that way, at least in your time here with the Panthers, these last three seasons, that competitive in the league?
It hasn't been that as competitive as this year, because I think that the back end teams caught up a little to the front end teams, and it's really and here at Milwaukee too, we're really putting the pressure on the other teams to take that conference title. So other teams too have stepped up. So it's really gotten deeper the last year.
You look at that Horizon League tournament, the number two seed entering, fell in the semis against Youngstown State 4-1. What do you feel is the difference in that particular matchup from Cincinnati, Ohio?
I would say that, we did do our best to adjust to the outdoor elements coming from an inside atmosphere. And that match, we the time we beat them, we really overpowered them and were dictating the play. And I think we were prepared, but one thing they did well is with the outdoor elements, they kind of kept us back a little and prevented us from getting forward like we were able to inside. And but honestly, they just showed up that day, and I give their coach a lot of credit too, because they were ready to play that day, and they were all battles as expected, but you know, a few points here and there went their way.
When you talk about making the adjustment from going indoors to outdoors, outside of the obvious, hey, you can control the elements indoors, are there other challenges to making that adjustment?
It's a different speed of the game. So I think it's actually a bigger advantage to go from inside to outside as opposed to the opposite, because it's going to be a faster paced game indoors. So when you get outside, you feel like you have a bit more time, and the timing's a little better. But you may need to adjust the game style a little, because you're going to get more free points on the faster courts inside with a big power game.
And certainly your schedule goes throughout the course of the school year, but how often do you get outdoors versus indoors?
Our spring break trip in March gives us a good chance to train outside and compete outside right before conference season starts. And then, as you know, in Wisconsin, it's hit or miss. We could be outside March 1st or May 1st. So
absolutely,
every year is different.
When you look at this 2025-26 season, are there one or two wins that stand out among the rest, and you say these are the highlights of this campaign?
One that stood out is the UIC win. I think it was, if I'm correct, 2014, since they beat them last.
Yep.
And we really played well that match. We, you know, we really needed every win that we were able to get, and it wasn't easy to get any of them. And then, of course, the local D1 rivalry with Marquette, second time in a row and second time in school history. And that one just stands out because that's a match that we look forward to all year. It's such a fun rivalry. Their coach, Brett, is an awesome guy. But the past 2 years, it's come down to one person. It's been decided by 1 or 2 points, and the atmosphere has been awesome. So I got to give the girls credit for that one, because that took some mental toughness to fight through and get through that match.
Let's talk more about the Panthers and Golden Eagles. How intense does that matchup get?
That's one that definitely we highlight on the calendar every year. We want to have kind of the bragging rights that every year for the, you know, the city of Milwaukee, and that this is our city. But it's always a fun competitive battle. The girls on their team are really respectful. It doesn't get ugly. That's why I enjoy it so much, is because there is a lot on the line, but it's always a great atmosphere.
When you look at the roster, 3 seniors listed from this past season. What do those seniors mean to the successes of this program?
The biggest thing was their leadership. They are all, the 3 that we lost were great leaders. The girls had great role models to look up to for advice on the court, off the court. But on the other hand, I'm excited about the big sophomore class and Amelia, who will be our senior, stepping up, you know, after a few years of experience and, you know, following that type of leadership. I think they're ready for sure.
We talk about that sophomore class, and of course, Nell Van Hoot, a transfer from Marshall, named the Horizon League Player of the Year first for a Panther. What do you see from Nell in her first Panther season?
You know, she made a tremendous leap from when she got here till the end of the year. We use our UTR rating, if you're familiar with it, but came as an 8-2, left as a 9. And we were really able to develop her game here and put it all together. I recruited her a lot off potential because I saw some videos from her year at Marshall. I know that, you know, she didn't have as much success there, started in the lineup and eventually didn't crack the lineup. But what I could see from her videos is the potential. You know, if you could put it all together, she was a big-time heavy hitter. And that's exactly what happened, both the mental side and the physical side. She maxed out and really had a successful year. But I also think that the culture we have here and how well the girls get along really contributes to her success.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit further, because it jumped off the page to me that she was number 6 singles at Marshall. Right. And all of a sudden here in Milwaukee, playing number 1 singles and either number 1 or number 2 doubles. I mean, how big of a jump is that from what she was accustomed to?
Yeah, I mean, the perfect example, too, is that she did play 6 for a few matches, mostly just doubles, no singles. And they actually played one of our conference rival, Youngstown, where she lost a straight set match at 6 singles to their team. So just in 1 year, going from that to beating their 1 player in straight sets in our regular season match was a huge leap.
Where can she continue to improve her game?
So Nell, on on the power side, she can hit the weight room and really advance to the next level and pushing her development physically.
Outside of Nell, and you mentioned it earlier, because of injuries, forced others to have to step up. Any other big surprises as far as individuals go from this past season?
Yes, some huge surprises. So one that stands out is Hinoka Yamashita. She came in as, you know, this year was kind of planning to be more of a development year again. And based on the talent we had coming into the season prior to the injuries, she wasn't necessarily guaranteed a lineup spot. And with the injuries, when I say that players had that step next up mentality, she, you know, took full advantage of that. She improved so much from fall to spring, and when it was her turn to get called up to the lineup, she pulled off some huge wins especially the ones that stand out for me are Youngstown and Cleveland State, because we wouldn't have had those regular season wins, 4-3 wins without her, or 5-2, I think, for Youngstown. But really just everyone down the line. Aliza came back from injury. Nika was able to come back with only less than a month of season left to try to gain her rhythm back for the team after being out for 5-6 months. So really just the next up mentality and the no excuses. You know, really we spent a lot of time building that mental toughness and just focusing hard on doing everything we can do that's in our control. And this year it paid off.
So I'm guessing overall, now three seasons in, you're pleased and excited about the direction this program is headed.
Yeah, for sure. I, you know, my goal is just to get better every year. That's my first priority. And although we did have a strong team this year, I'm very excited about the recruits coming in next year and the talent we're bringing in.
Something that also wows me when you look at the roster, at least from this past school year, all nine from a different country. So how do you go about recruiting and building a roster?
Well, this is wrapping up my 15th year coaching college tennis. So I've built up a pretty solid network around the world. And tennis, women's tennis especially, is a sport where in other countries, especially in Europe, it's heavily focused on. You know, I know in the U.S. it's strong, but there's also a lot of basketball and other sports that are the primary focus. So countries in Europe and around the world really have strong tennis academies these days. And in these last 15 years, I've really been able to build up a network of coaches and from other countries and academies that I trust, you know, who are gonna not try and oversell me their players. And in return, you know, they know that any player coming to me is going to love their experience and love the city of Milwaukee and improve in our system.
From a recruiting standpoint, do you get the opportunity to ever go overseas and see them in person, or is it all just based on, again, the networking?
Yeah, I mean, these days with technology and my current network, you know, I try to prioritize my budget towards during the season and giving the team the best experience possible. So I've been able to have a lot of success without traveling overseas. You know, sometimes bringing the players in here to meet them and give them a feel of what Milwaukee's all about. But no, I really haven't had to. I would love to, but I haven't had to travel overseas much in the recruiting process.
Learning more about you and your tennis background, it's fascinating, but where did your tennis journey way back when begin?
Yeah, so my dad is a bit of a tennis bum. He played at Madison, had a professional career after college, and so pretty much as soon as I was strong enough to hold a racket, he put one in my hand. And then from there, I just fell in love with the game. I love, you know, how much the mental side too kind of carries over off the court and just helps you be successful in life. And so my dad was my first coach, and you know, I played at Nicolet for high school, played at Green Bay in the Horizon League for college. Right out of college, started a tennis academy, but then fell in love with coaching college tennis. Just missed the atmosphere of being on a team and having that common goal of, you know, accomplishing something at the end of the year. And now, you know, the college atmosphere is just everything for me.
Growing up, was there a tennis player or two that you kind of looked up to, try to maybe mimic your game after?
Yeah, so I loved watching all the Agassi and Sampras battles, but another player I used to watch a lot was Murat Safin, who was entertaining sometimes for the wrong reasons, but definitely had a game that I was trying to mimic a bit.
You mentioned you went on to play high school tennis at Nicolet, won a state championship with the Knights. What are your memories of that state championship run?
That was a fun year. We kind of had a powerhouse. Nicolet had a good stretch of talented players. So I was lucky because not only does Nicolet have a great coaching staff, Tim Coppa, a legend, is still there, but Kevin Heim, who's now in Nebraska, was a great high school coach. So be able to train with that level of players and that level of coaches in the high school world was a huge perk and something that, I really feel grateful that I had the chance to do that, because you don't always get that at the high school level.
So for you growing up, was it always tennis, or were there other sports you attempted to play?
I was big into soccer too, and I think I could have also had the option to play soccer at the college level. But one thing I loved is how the sports complemented each other. Soccer was the perfect cardio, conditioning, footwork for complementing tennis. And I really think I also played basketball and a few other sports, but having those other sports and not just one, I think really helped my tennis game.
So you mentioned you could have potentially played college soccer, but why was it tennis? What ultimately made that the route you went?
Yeah, I mean, I do come from a tennis family, and like I said, I just fell in love with the sport. I love playing soccer too, but tennis is my number one. I love watching it live. I love coaching. I love everything about it. At some point made the decision my junior year of high school that I was having some success and wanted to really just focus on pushing it for tennis.
You also mentioned college-wise, you went the Green Bay route. Why Green Bay?
I had some options there, and what I loved about Green Bay at the time was the coach and the team. I went on a bunch of recruiting trips, and the coach at the time, Dan Oliver, he really just sold me on the culture. And the atmosphere that they train in and very similar to what I feel like I'm building now, I fell in love with that on my recruiting trip, and everything he told me that I was excited about, he made come true. And I definitely owe a lot of the things I've learned on how to build that culture from both my high school and college tennis teams.
You look at your background during your time with the Phoenix, a three-time All-Horizon League honoree. You played at either number one or number two singles and number one doubles all 4 years. So what highlights, at least from your action on the court, stand out to you from your time with Green Bay?
We had some battles in the finals of the Horizon League championship for the conference tournament. So I think those battles against Butler definitely stand out. Unfortunately, we got close, but we didn't end up making the tournament. Butler's no longer in the conference, but those matches against UIC and Butler, who were our big rivals back then, you're always looking forward to those.
Was it always the hope, once you were done playing, to find a way to stay involved in the game?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, right out of college, I thought that starting up a tennis academy in Milwaukee was what I wanted to do for good. And I started a very successful tennis academy called Smack Tennis, and I learned a lot. I loved it. But what I realized after leaving college tennis is how much I missed the team atmosphere and the culture of, working together as a team and building a team. And so when I got back into college coaching, I knew I didn't want to leave ever again, and that I would miss that team atmosphere too much.
Okay, I'm going to jump around, so I'm going to ask you about the Smack Tennis Academy. How does one begin an academy? How do you even go about drawing, tennis players to come to your particular academy?
So that was actually not that hard, just because of the fact that there was no other competition in the Milwaukee area for that style. When I was growing up, my friends and I who got to a certain level in tennis had to travel to Chicago a lot because they had a big tennis academy scene. And when I say academy, there's a lot of good tennis in Milwaukee, but academy is just kind of putting it all under one umbrella, where you're training, the mental side, the conditioning, traveling to tournaments with coaches. So we were able to use that formula, which just didn't exist at the time, where it was all in one. And then from there, my name had a good buzz around the area. I was able to get a lot of my college tennis playing friends on staff. And then as soon as they saw the product, it just grew.
Well, you got the opportunity also to coach then here at Milwaukee as an assistant. What did you learn? How did you grow as a coach from that experience with the Panthers from 2009 through 2012?
Yeah, so I was able to learn a lot from Sean McInerney. He actually went on to coach at Utah State and have a very successful career. But he was also one of my coaches besides my dad when I was in high school. So I got the chance to learn so much from him as a player when he was coaching me, and then helping him out as an assistant. He was just a great coach, built a great atmosphere, and that's really where I learned a lot of my recruiting tools that I use now. And he really helped me start up my career when I ended up going to Cardinal Stritch.
Yeah, I was going to say, I read that you founded the men's and women's tennis programs at Cardinal Stritch. So you start an academy, now you start a couple of college programs. Coaching at Stritch from 2013 through 2021, how did you even tackle starting college programs?
So I had the opportunity to start my head coaching career in Milwaukee, which is what I wanted to do because my family's here, my friends are here, and Cardinal Stritch was a great community. At the time, they were adding a bunch of sports to make a big push in athletics, and I looked at the conference, I did my research, and I knew, you know, right when I accepted the job that I already had a network that could compete to win this conference right away. I was coaching a lot of players at the time that were interested in playing college. Once I really learned, the recruiting in the NAIA and the market out there, I was able to really lock in some high-level players early on. And put the name out there right away.
So it wasn't necessarily a tough sell from the beginning.
Right. I mean, it was a tough sell in the sense that they didn't have a program. So trying to convince people those first 2 years that you're going to be a successful program when there's nothing to back it up in the past was definitely a big hurdle. I was able to lock in some really good talent, some players that trusted me. And what I saw, you know, my vision for the program, and then in the end, we only got stronger because the better the program got, the more the players wanted to come.
So what are you most proud of from your time at Stritch?
At Stritch, I would say, overall, just the community I built in the Stritch tennis world. I was coaching men and women. We were required to have 12 on each roster at the time. So, I was traveling with 24 people, two coaches. So it was a big crew. And looking back at it now, like the relationships that were built, and I've probably been to 10 weddings of former Stritch players. Ooh. And just the culture that I was able to build and create these, you know, lifelong relationships for me is what stands out. And then my second year coaching, on the women's side, because I was able to, steal one from UWM when I switched over, and I was coaching some high-level players, right away we had a big impact on the women's side. So receiving that National Coach of the Year award in my second year was a big honor because I knew I could do it, but having the results that fast was really felt great.
After your time at Cardinal Stritch, serving as an assistant GM at Elite Sports Club in Mequon, what eventually led you back here to Milwaukee?
Well, I was unfortunately, Cardinal Stritch closed as a university. So the second I was done at Stritch, I was just itching to get back into college tennis because, like I said, at that point, I already knew it was my passion and what I wanted to do with my career. So I did learn a lot at both. I was at the Milwaukee Athletic Club and Mequon Elite, and you know I appreciate the opportunities they gave me and the staff I met. But for me, the goal was to stay in Milwaukee where I could raise my daughter and get back into coaching college tennis. So the timing of this opening was great, and then I really appreciate, Amanda and Kathy giving me the chance to trust in me to get this program going again. And they really dug me out of a hole where I was, really wanting to get back into college tennis. So it ended up being a win-win.
Is it a big adjustment going from NAIA to Division One?
On the recruiting side, it was at first. You know, the NAIA didn't have as many restrictions on the recruiting side. So one of the reasons I was able to gain a lot of success is a lot of players I had at Cardinal Stritch, my market was the players who didn't have the eligibility in Division One, and had to find other options, which I actually loved because I was able to, you know, recruit pro level players who could have played, you know, top 20 in the country D1, and able to coach that level is such a great experience. And then getting to Division One, you know, I figured it out pretty fast, and then you know, everything's changing so fast now that you just got to keep adjusting and keep finding ways to stay competitive.
Can we talk about your Panther coaching staff too while we got time? Because your wife is part of the coaching staff, former Panther head coach. Your dad, a former Big Ten champion at Wisconsin, also part of the coaching staff. So how unique, how special is it to coach alongside your loved ones?
Yeah, I mean, and my 8-year-old daughter, pretty much any chance she gets to hang out with the team, she takes. She's at every home match. But, you know, I sell this program to my recruits on this family culture we've built. So for me, not only do we have that culture with the team, but it truly is a, you know, a family experience. My dad retired from property management back in 2020, so he's been able to come every practice, every match. So to spend that kind of time with him and also have his experience, you know, on the court and just kind of paying him in shoes and uniform is something that I feel very fortunate for. And he loves it. He would not spend his retirement any other way. And then, of course, Maddie, you know, at the level she can play at and the experience she has. She is also a child school-based therapist, but any days she has off, she comes to practice, and almost every match she's there on court helping us out. So it's really been a great experience to be able to do it, you know, with my team and also having it be such a big part of my family's experience.
Are there ever any challenges coaching alongside your dad or your wife?
You know, that I can't think of anything offhand. Really, it's just been all positive experiences, and with that kind of background from all three of us, it's really helped grow the program faster.
So if your wife and you played each other in a best of five, how's that turning out?
Well, I think she'll admit this, but if we're playing real matches with the serve, I'm going to have a big advantage. Okay. But these days we do a lot of ground stroke games for the cardio, and she definitely can get me on those as much or more than I can get her.
Well, I'm blown away too, because your sister Lexi played at Wisconsin. I mean, it really is a family.
It's a big tennis family.
So when you take a look at the whole Golden family, all got together for a tennis tournament, how competitive would that tournament be?
Yeah, well, my parents do have a spot in East Troy where we have access to a tennis court, so that actually happens. We have many battles with the entire family watching, and it's just such a fun atmosphere. And for my daughter to be able to, you know, see that kind of competitive atmosphere both with UWM and with our family when we're just having fun is going to take, you know, go a long way for her, I think.
You've talked about the various aspects of the sport of tennis, the mental side and this and that, but what is it ultimately, when you look back and you think about the sport, what is it that you love so much about tennis? What has kept you in the game all these years?
Well, I'm a competitive guy. Right away, you know, in my career, I just wanted to win. But for me now, it's not just about being competitive and winning. I'm really enjoying the process of, you know, helping my players use that mental toughness to succeed off court, and then seeing what they can do after college. You know, they're not going pro right after college, so to see where they can take their careers and start up their lives, for me, that's really turned into a big passion of mine.
To wrap it all up, as we bring it back to the present, we head into these summer months. What expectations do you have for those returning athletes? How do they go about preparing now for the upcoming 2026-27 season?
Yeah, so I definitely told them to take a little break from tennis. You know, you don't want to overdo it. The big focus this summer is just fitness and building more muscle and strength. Because, you know, as you saw, a lot of the injuries we had the last two seasons were just, you know, bad luck. But I also think that we really need to prioritize building as much strength as possible to prevent any future injuries.
Well, Coach Golden, thanks a lot for your time. All the best here this summer, and thank you for joining us and listening to this edition of the Pouncecast.